Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, let it stand together if you're able. We'll begin reading at verse 18 down through verse 26. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give peace, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture that we looked at last week, but begin today's sermon with. Thank you for the healing power of Jesus. Physically, yes, but spiritually, oh yes, thank you so very much. Bless this service, we pray, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This story that we just read can be found also in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. It is my favorite episode recorded in the gospel narratives, the intertwining of two different individuals meeting, as it were, at the crossroads of life. A religious leader and an unclean poor woman. And going their separate ways, having seen and felt the healing power of Jesus Christ. We find now, as we begin in verse 27, that Jesus shows again his compassion. Verse 27, And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Most of us would say we would rather have sight than taste. I have a pastor acquaintance whose wife has no taste buds. And so it doesn't matter what you give her, she cannot taste it. And so it doesn't matter to her if her husband takes her to McDonald's or to the nicest steakhouse in the city. But she would rather be able to see. And most of us would say we would rather be able to see than to smell. I remember I was a custodian for a number of years when I was in college. And I was so glad that through the years that I was a custodian, none of the children where I worked ever puked. Because we know this, there's nothing worse than the smell of fresh puke. But the honest to goodness, we'd rather be able to see than smell. We would rather be able to see than have feelings in our hands. I worked for a rubber company for a number of years outside of Fort Worth when I was in Bible college, and I burned the fingertips of my hands to the point I have very little feelings in the end of my fingers. But I'd gladly give that up if I can keep my eyesight. When I was at the Bible Institute over there in Birmingham, I took a number of years classes of sign language. I frustrated my teachers no end because I have no coordination in my fingers. In fact, at one time, the teacher came to me and tried to move my fingers in the right place, and she goes, "Your fingers just don't listen." But I'm glad I can see. But we take seeing for granted, don't we? We take it for granted. Now, hearing, let's be honest about it, most of us don't hear as well as we once did. But aren't you glad you can see? We used to have a woman that came to our church, Cheryl Smalden. She was blind, and sometimes she would bring her seeing eye dog. Some of you were here the time my dad pounded the pulpit and the dog started barking. Thought somebody was knocking at the door. But have you ever pondered what it must have been like in that day to be blind? They didn't have all the things that we have today for the handicapped. And I'm not saying it's a perfect world for the handicapped today, but can you imagine living in that world with no way of earning an income other than by begging? And Jesus has left the house of Jairus, and two blind men have heard that he is in town, and they're crying for mercy. Verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." They're persistent. I don't know how long they followed him, but he has now gone into another house and maybe to spend the evening or maybe to have a meal, but they are still there wanting mercy, knowing that he is able to heal them. And he asked them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they answered, "Yes." I remember when my family physician, or really my doctor, was worried about a problem that I was having, and he sent me to a specialist. And he says, "You need to go see this doctor," and he says, he's going to help you. And I still remember seeing there, being in the office, and Dr. Shervis doing the examination. And the first thing Dr. Shervis said, "You're not going to die." How would you like to have your doctor say that? "You're not going to die." But he says, "You do have an issue," and he says, "and we're going to take care of it." You know, it's good to have confidence in your physician. And these two blind men were confident that Jesus Christ was going to be able to give them back their sight. Now, we're not told if it was something they had from being born that way, or if there was an accident and they lost their sight, but whatever, that they are desiring their sight. And verse 29 says, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith. How strong is your faith today? Is your faith strong as long as you have money in your wallet? As long as your credit cards are good? As long as you're living in a nice house? As long as you have food? Is that when your faith is strong? But how about when things are not going well? How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? I'll ask you this. You that come here know I don't talk about money very much, and you can say amen about that. But the fact of the matter is, how strong is your faith when it comes to giving to the Lord? Do you believe that you're to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse and that He will provide? Do you have faith believing that He will take care of you? How strong is your faith? He said unto these two blind men, he said, according to your faith. We hear of faith healers. And if the person that has come doesn't receive their health, who do they blame? Not the faith healer. They blame the person. They said, your faith isn't strong enough. Well, we know that Jesus was able to heal because he's God. And that he did give that power to certain people in past days, but not today. We don't have the need of faith healers today. We have the Word of God, and he is able to heal accordingly as he desires. And verse 30. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. That seems odd, doesn't it? Because what does the Lord expect of us now that our eyes are opened? We're to tell, aren't we? In fact, wouldn't we like it better if Jesus said, well, I have saved your soul, but you don't have to tell anybody. But we find now in verse 31, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They couldn't wait to tell somebody. Well, how about you? If you had been blind for years, wouldn't you tell people that Jesus healed you? You think that's a trick question, don't you? You're like me. You're thinking, okay, if I say yes to this, because he's going to then say, well, why don't you tell anybody? Not a trick question. Wouldn't you have gone and told somebody that you were blind and now you see? I was talking to a missionary this week. You know, our mission conference is coming up in the month of March. I know we had talked about maybe moving it to April, but after talking to some missionaries that we'd wanted to come, March was the month and they agreed, and so we're working towards that. And I said to the missionary, I said to him, well, we're glad you're having us on Wednesday. And I said, well, you know, you can be on one of the other days. He goes, no. He says, do you know how hard it is to get into Baptist churches on Wednesdays? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, most Baptist churches have stopped having Wednesday night services and Sunday night services. Why do you think Baptist churches have stopped having Sunday night services and Wednesday night services? Is it because the pastor doesn't want to preach? Hello, talk to me. Why do you think? Have the people become cold and hard? I don't know. I didn't know what to say to him. I said, what do you mean? He said, they just simply don't have services anymore. And I'm thinking, how sad. How sad. Do you know there was a time in which this auditorium was full right to the back wall? And that we had Sunday night services up here? Now we have them downstairs. Why do we have them downstairs instead of up here? Not enough people. Do you know that Brother Wutke and when my brother was still a deacon and I talked about moving Sunday morning services downstairs during the summer? Why is that? Because too many Christians today are indifferent. It's no big deal. So if I say that tonight we're having a 6 o'clock meeting and we'd love to have you, what's our first reaction? As your faith is. Let's continue reading. Verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Wow! People are coming and Jesus is healing and people want to follow him. But there became a point in when the people that followed him left him because his sayings were hard. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Will you also leave me?" Jesus would say, "When I return, will I find faith?" Will he find faith in America when he returns? What if he comes back on a Sunday night? How many Baptist churches are going to be closed? Folks, we need to be involved in the work of the Lord. More involved. Verse 34, but the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." They did not want to believe Jesus. They did not want to follow Jesus. Thus, they were always attacking him. But then we come to a very interesting portion of Scripture, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They fainted and were scattered abroad as people having no shepherd. I look at the United States of America and we are so blessed. I can go over here to Kroger's or to Meijer's or one of the other supermarkets and there is food and plenty. I tell you how well we have it. If by accident they dent a can, they reduce the price because we don't want to buy a can of something that's dented. I mean, that's what the country we live in. Now, if the can of peas is dented, I understand. My wife brought home some Brussels sprouts the other day. And I looked at her and I looked at it and I looked at her and I said, "What are these for?" And she cooked them. What was that, a quart of them? A quart. You know how many I ate? None. You know how many she ate? All of them. Ooh. I know exactly what I'm missing. Yes. But the United States of America needs compassion. We have money. I mean, it's amazing how much money is in America today. They're still flocking to America. Any way they can get here, they come. They come because they want to be here. God has blessed us beyond measure. Not only are we financially have much, we have the Word of God. And what have we done with it? We ignore it. We try to rid ourselves of it. He had compassion on them. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." There are few. The struggle goes on. What is the number one reason pastors resign? Number one reason. You think it's because they don't get paid enough? I mean, a lot of them don't get paid enough, but is that the reason? No. Is it they don't like their church building? God has blessed us here. I mean, the building was in 1965, it was built, so it's not one of the new-looking things, but it looks nice enough. There was a baby shower here yesterday, and two women were walking out, and she says, "Oh, they keep this building looking so nice."
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Keeping it look so nice. Why do you think pastors resign? Because of people. People. Do you think we get discouraged? We get discouraged. I get discouraged. I don't know if he ever gets discouraged. He's so even keel, sometimes it drives me nuts. Show me some emotion. He probably does. He goes home and tells his wife. No? Okay. I go home and tell my wife, and she goes, read Philippians 4. Don't give me scripture. Just say I'm right. I get discouraged. Do you think Jesus got discouraged? I think he looked at the people and said, I know what you need, and I'm offering it to you, and you reject it. Entertain me. Wasn't it entertaining to see blind people get healed? And dumb people to get healed? We don't call them dumb today, but those that couldn't speak? The lame? Those that had issues? Man, I tell you, what had been exciting. You should have been there today. Jesus healed all kinds of people. But when the entertainment stopped and when the feeding stopped, they left him. They left him. Laborers are needed. Not just full-time people in the ministry, but for every one of us. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My wife told me yesterday, oh, we're going to have green beans soon. I like green beans. The problem is when my wife goes out to pick them, they don't always get in the house. Yes. They're so good right off the vine. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. That he will send laborers. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has returned from whence he came. He's gone to heaven. So whose job is it now? Hello? It's our job, isn't it? It's our job. Now his followers and disciples are called into the fields that are white unto harvest. Folks, today's world is faint and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They've been indoctrinated with evolution. They've been told that it's all right to marry any way you want to. We can live any way we want to. And the fact of the matter is, the further we drift from the Word of God, the worse our society gets. And folks, it's pretty rotten. It's pretty rotten. Why? Because we've taken the number one thing in our lives out. So what if you've been saved for 35 years? 55 years? Should the Word of God still be precious to you?
Yes.
Should we still want to be in the house of God? Thank you, Cindy. Should we still want to be in the house of God?
Yes.
See, you think that's a trick question. I don't have a camera, and I'm going to look at it later to see who said amen. There's so much I want to say. The time is over, and some of you looked at your clock and said, he's gone beyond. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true? Does that need salvation is necessary? Do we care? What's the best way to be a testimony to your neighbor? Go to church. Go to church. What's the best way to be a testimony to your family? Go to church. Read the Word of God. Be involved in the work of the Lord. Folks, we're only going to be here a short period of time. My son just had to bury his mother-in-law, 67. We have no guarantee. Shall we stand together? 382, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, you had compassion because you saw the need. Lord, may we have compassion. Lord, may we be willing to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.